We're going to be reading from Mark's Gospel, chapter 1, verses 16 to 28. As Jesus walked beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. "Come, follow me," Jesus said, "and I will send you out to fish for the people." At once they left their nets and followed him. When he had gone a little further, he saw James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John in a boat, preparing their nets. Without delay he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired men and followed him. They went to Capernaum, and when the Sabbath came, Jesus went into the synagogue and began to teach. The people were amazed at his teaching, because he taught them as one who had authority, not as the teachers of the law. Just then a man in the synagogue, who was possessed by an impure spirit, cried out, "What do you want with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." "Be quiet," said Jesus sternly. "Come out of him." The impure spirit shook the man violently and came out of him with a shriek. The people were all so amazed that they asked each other, "What is this? A new teaching, and with authority. He even gives orders to impure spirits and they obey him." News about him spread quickly over the whole region of Galilee.
Well, we've been grappling as a family with the joys of homeschooling. An 8-year-old, a 5-year-old, and a 3-year-old all have different abilities, all have different levels, all have different concentration spans. And my wife has done a wonderful job of battling on as I've been upstairs locked away in the box room trying to work, at many times unsuccessfully. And the things that have been particularly challenging has been spending so much time with them and having authority. You know, sometimes they do obey on the first time, many times they don't obey on the 16th time. And the things we can't quite get over is what the teachers tell us. You know, they tell us that in school they are as good as gold. You know, they obey all the time. And here we are in a homeschool context and we think, why don't we have the authority of the teachers? It's probably because we are their parents and there's no head teacher. Maybe like us, you are thinking, homeschooling is definitely not for me. If you are thinking it's for you, you're a hero. But the rest of us cannot wait to shove them back in schools. You see, we long to have authority. We long to have authority in the home place. And I guess, you know, as we look at the world, we long for people in positions of authority to be able to do what they say. You know, we long for the policeman to be able to stop the burglar and actually solve the crime and deal with the problem. You know, as social services get involved in messy situations, we long for them to be able to have authority to actually be able to do something and change behavior. You know, I guess as we see ultimately evil in the world, we long for someone to be able to have authority to actually be able to sort out the issue, to be able to deal with it. So over the next few weeks, from Mark chapter 1 verse 16 to 2 verse 17, we're seeing Jesus demonstrate he has got the authority to bring the kingdom that we long for, a place where evil and sickness and sin can actually be dealt with, and he's got the authority to do it. I've often pondered whether I should write a book about how to play football, how to have the silky smooth skills that this lanky Welshman possesses. And maybe you think, okay, that book sounds interesting, Andy. You know, you've got some interesting ideas about football. Well, let's see if you've actually got something to show. Give you a football. Go and have a go. And I guess if you gave me a football, you would see that I have no silky smooth skills. This lanky Welshman is definitely not Gareth Bale or Ryan Giggs. You see, my skills would show that I do not have the authority to be able to write this book. Or if I did write this book, you should save your money. But Jesus, over these next few weeks, really wants to show us that he has got the authority to bring God's forever kingdom. And the first thing we see today is that Jesus' authority is so great that people are willing to leave everything to follow him. People are willing to leave everything to follow him. Just have a look at verse 16. As Jesus walked beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. You see, we see quite an unsurprising scene. Here is Jesus walking along the seaside, and he looks out onto the lake. And what does he see on this sea? Some two guys fishing. You know, they're doing what they do every day. They are casting the nets to try and catch some fish. But what he does next is surprising, because he calls them to be part of his team, to follow him. Now, just imagine, just think where we have come from. You know, Mark at the start of his account has told us this is good news about the promised king, the Son of God. We've seen as he has come onto the scene, he's been baptized, and God's voice has boomed from heaven saying, "This is my Son." Who do you think this eternal king is going to bring into his kingdom? You know, when you're watching a film, a heist film, something like Ocean's 11, one of the brilliant things, brilliant parts of it is when they are trying to put together their crack team to be able to rob the bank. And you watch the scenes as, you know, they pick, there's the muscle guy, and then there's the brains guy who's going to do all the tech stuff, and then maybe there's the really short guy who's really acrobatic, and there's the sharp shooter. We love those scenes in films. We think, yeah, it's obvious why you're picking them. It's obvious why you're picking them. Here is God's eternal king. And who do you expect him to pick? Sure, you would have thought he's going to be saying, okay, we're going to go for like the gladiator type figure, or maybe the religious bigwig who's got all the knowledge. But here he is by the seaside, calling some distinctly average people. Now, don't take it wrong, fishermen are impressive. All you have to do is watch a documentary on Channel 5 and you'll see that they risk life and limb. They are hard as nails. And yet God's king comes, and the first people he calls to be part of his crack team are normal people. Isn't that a relief for you and me as we watch this? You know, Jesus has come and he wants normal people to be part of his kingdom. But that isn't the most remarkable part of what we read here. See, the remarkable part is this. It's how they respond. Just again, have a look at verse 17. "Come, follow me," Jesus said, "and I will send you out to fish for people." See, Jesus says, forget those sort of wriggly, scaly things that you are fishing for. I have got bigger, people-sized fish for you to fry. But the thing that is remarkable is what they do next. Have a look at verse 18. "At once they left their nets and followed him." Now just think about it. Think about the significance of their nets. See, their nets was their, it was their livelihood. It would be like the long haul lorry driver leaving his truck, or the barber leaving their scissors and chair. You know, this is their means of survival in a subsistence culture. This would have been absolutely vital for them to be able to live, and yet they leave their nets floating to follow Jesus. Now, why is that? You know, I guess they must have heard a bit about him. You know, he was preaching in the region of Galilee. Word had got to them, but even so, this is remarkable. You know, it may be that you're cynical. You think, well, the reason they left everything to follow Jesus is they were no-hopers. The business wasn't going well. They didn't have much of a future, and so they thought, why not? Why not take a punt on him? Well, that can't be said for the next people. Just have a look at the next verses, verses 19 and 20. "When he had gone a little farther, he saw James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John in a boat preparing their nets. Without delay, he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired men and followed him." You see, there's James and John, and Jesus said to them, "Come follow me. Do you fancy it?" And they do. And so they go. But look who they are leaving in verse 20. Look who they're leaving. Their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired men. You see, this is a business that is going really well. They can hire other people. Imagine what dad might have been saying as he watches his boys leave to follow this traveling preacher. Boys, what are you doing? Do you know how much work we have on at the moment? Boys, look at this. Look at the hired men. Look at our fleet of boats. Why are you leaving that? This could all be yours in years to come. And yet, how do they leave? What does it say, verse 20? Without delay. See, what we are seeing here at the start of the gospel is that following Jesus costs something. Now, it's not necessarily going to cost you your job. It's not going to say, like, following Jesus is going to cost me my career. Unless you're a thief, then you will need to stop doing that. But for anyone who comes to follow Jesus, there is a cost. Now, there'll be people watching this at home, people who've been Christians for years, who would say, yeah, actually, it has cost me something. You know, it cost me a relationship. It cost me some challenges with my family who didn't quite understand why I would follow Jesus. Actually, other people would say, look, it's brought me challenges at work as I wasn't able to continue with some of those work practices that used to go on in my work, and it has affected things. You know, all of us will look back and say, actually, there has been some cost, but also lots of us will look back and be able to say, but it is worth it. Jesus has been worth it. Actually, what I have gained from knowing him was better than catching fish. You know, just think about what he's offering these disciples. Don't just catch fish. I want you to catch people. There is some greater purpose that I have for you in your life. And yeah, we are not the disciples, not in the same way, but we are called to be on mission with Jesus. See, that is glorious. That is wonderful. This king who's come to bring this kingdom says, I want to make you part of this. I want you to be involved in this. I guess there'll be other us watching this who maybe just are feeling a little bit jaded. You know, the cost of following Jesus right now in this lockdown, maybe my life would look a little bit different if I wasn't with him. And it may just be that we need to again be reminded of the eminence, the glory, the joy of his kingdom. And we see a bit more of that as we carry on to the next part. See, Jesus doesn't just have authority that people are willing to leave everything for him. He also has authority that evil obeys him. See, Jesus hits the synagogue and he gets into the pulpit and people experience a sermon like they have never heard before. Noel Edmonds apparently once said, church is the most boring experience on offer. Clearly, he had never watched himself on Deal or No Deal, but no one would have said that on this day. Have a look at verse 22. The people were amazed at his teaching because he taught them as one who had authority, not as the teachers of the law. They can't get over what Jesus is teaching. Now, the narrative shows us, doesn't tell us what he's teaching. It's because he's probably still teaching what we've been told he's been teaching in verses 14 and 15, that the kingdom of God has come near. It's come close to us. But they focus on their response and they are amazed. There was no snoozing that day. But what happens next is even more astonishing. You see, it all kicks off. Have a look down at the next verse, verse 23. Just then, a man in their synagogue who was possessed by an impure spirit cried out, what do you want with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God. Someone who is possessed by a satanic evil spirit cries out. Now, I've been in a church once where someone walked in off the street and stormed up the central aisle and was shouting and shouting in the service. It was kind of a little bit exciting. But this situation probably wouldn't have been exciting. I think you would have been a little unnerved, a little scared, maybe a little bit excited to think, what is Jesus going to do next? But just imagine it. You're gripped by what Jesus is saying. Every single word, you are hanging off it. And then all of a sudden, someone stands up and shouts, "Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are. You're the Holy One of God." That would be a little bit off-putting, wouldn't it? I'm aware that some people listening in might say it's a bit weird we are talking about evil spirits. And again, I just want to say, listen back to last week's talk two in this series, where I did talk a little bit more about Satan. But the Bible is never ashamed of saying there is a spiritual dimension to this world. And so often it is behind the scenes. It's always been behind the scenes, and it may be behind the scenes for us today, but it probably shouldn't surprise us that as God's King comes preaching the kingdom of light and drawing people into this kingdom, that this there is an outburst of demonic activity in a very obvious visual way. It's also worth clocking that the Bible writers clearly get the difference between mental illness and demon possession. We'll see that at the end of chapter 3. But what is, again, quite astonishing is how the demon responds. Listen to what happens in verse 25 and 26. "Be quiet," said Jesus sternly, "come out of him." The impure spirit shook him, the man, violently, and came out of him with a shriek. See, with a word, like talking to a disobedient dog, Jesus just says, "Come out of him," and the spirit obeys. You see, here is Jesus' authority. Evil is afraid of him. It's frightened of him. You know, what does the spirit say? "Have you come to destroy us?" They get who Jesus is. He is the one who's in charge. And as he comes bringing this message of the kingdom, evil is banished and ultimately will be destroyed. You know, anyone who has dabbled with the occult will know that it is dangerous, it is powerful, and yet Jesus' kingdom has come to ultimately destroy it. See, it's glorious, it's wonderful authority, but it doesn't end there. You see, the real twist in this story is what happens next. See, there's no arm wrestle between Jesus and Satan. He will always win. But it's how people respond. Have a look at verse 27. "The people were all so amazed that they asked each other, 'What is this? A new teaching and with authority.' He even gives orders to the impure spirits and they obey him." See, the people watching on, they do go, "Well, hey, he can beat the demons." But where does it turn their focus? It turns their focus onto his teaching. They say, "Look, this is someone worth listening to. We've watched his football skills, and so we're going to buy the book." I mean, it's not football skills, is it? But that's the point. You know, they say, "Look, we've seen he has actually got authority to deal with evil. He can banish it. That is what the kingdom is going to be like." And so they think, we need to listen to his teaching, his word. He can do what he can say he can do. You see, maybe you look at the disciples, you look at the fishermen who leave everything to follow him, and you think, why would you ever do that? And then you realize Jesus' kingdom is a place where he will ultimately deal with evil. And then you think, why wouldn't you do that? It is an absolutely sane thing to do. Well, we're going to see more reasons for that in the coming weeks, but I just want us to focus a little bit on the fact they all go back to his teaching and say, "What is this teaching?" See, I'm aware that during the lockdown, it's been hard, isn't it? And today, clearly, things are going to open up a little bit more. And we're in the phase where things are going to be opening up and opening up. But for some of us, it will have been a really good time as following Jesus. It will be a time when we have been driven into his word. We have been feeding on him. It has been great. But there'll be others of us who have been utterly fatigued. You know, we really have been struggling. Maybe the initial excitement of the lockdown and thinking, okay, maybe we're going to start new routines and all of that, and it's all fallen into a bit of a mess, and we've felt very on our own, and we haven't been able to open up the Bible, and we haven't been able to feed on Him. And just be reminded from this passage, this is a teaching with authority that really does bring life. You know, one of the things that's been a real joy for us as a family is we've been watching the Faith in Kids daily live stream on YouTube. And on it, there's just sort of 5-6 minutes of input, and there's some questions for us to talk about as a family. But the wonderful thing that Ed, who does this teaching, starts with, he says this. He says, this is the most important part of the day. This is the best part of the day. Well done for being here. And then he says, Jesus is still on His throne. You see, have you got out the habit of just coming to the best part of the day, looking at His word, being reminded of His authority, being amazed with the wonder of the glory of Jesus? Because we need it. We need to be reconfigured day by day, be reminded of who it is we are serving, who it is we are following. I guess if you're not a Christian and you're listening in, and maybe you've been here for the past few weeks in this as we've been looking at Mark's gospel, and maybe you've started to hear a little bit of Jesus' voice. As we've been studying the Bible, you've been thinking, there is something in this. This is a teaching with authority. There is something here. Well, let me encourage you to read the Bible. You know, maybe you don't have a copy of Mark's gospel, and you would like a copy. We'd love to send something to you. Maybe you think, I've been hearing stuff here, but I've got so many more questions. Well, look, please do get in touch with us. Go onto the church website, surreychapel.org.uk. Email in at the office. Someone would love to be in touch with you to help you. Maybe you want to have some help looking at the Bible for yourself. Maybe you've got some questions that we can help with. Please do get in touch. We'd love you to come to understand what we've come to understand, that Jesus is worth giving up everything for. Well, look, thanks so much for joining us. And come back next week for our next installment in Jesus showing His kingly authority. Let me pray. Again, Lord God, we're just amazed at what people are willing to do to follow Jesus, these disciples who leave, humanly speaking, everything. And yet, as we see Jesus in the synagogue, we see that there are reasons for this. He has authority over evil, and we long for the day when He will come back and He will deal with all evil. Thank You that Jesus has got the authority to be able to do something about that. And Father, we pray that as we see His authority, You might again bring us to His word and help us to feed on Him, and help us to get to know Him, and help us to read His word, that we might know Him better, and that might help us over the coming days and weeks as our lives change again, as the lockdown is lifted. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.